at the stars. God said to Abraham, look up at the stars. Because I'm about to give you an image that every time you walk outside, you're going to remember my promise.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, your host today. Thank you for tuning in, being with us here. I'm with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church, and the one who will be teaching you today in just a moment. Pastor Mark, this series has been powerful. Don't Stop Believing. We've titled it On the Life of Abraham. And in today's passage, Genesis 15, Abraham's dealing with something that many of us have dealt with. I have, and I know you have as well, long periods of time wanting to have children, not having kids, wondering what's going on, having this deep longing. There's lots of longings of our heart, but this is a sensitive one. I know my wife and I went through that. And here's Abraham struggling with God over this issue.
It really is, Joshua. I call it the waiting room. And whether it's two parents that are struggling with infertility, or whether it's that single girl that's 31 feeling like, I'm never going to find the right godly guy, or that couple that's struggling financially and wants to provide a home, the waiting room is always difficult. Abraham was promised by God, you will be the father of a great nation. But there's no movement. He's waiting, trying to be faithful, and he struggles with being faithful as he waits for this. And so this message is really going to help us understand how God sort of strengthens us, like a marathon runner when they're running. Have you ever seen those guys along the side of the run that have a juice bottle or a water? I believe that God does that for us while we wait. It's that juice bottle on the side to say, hey, keep running, hang in there.
Yeah, it's good to see Abraham, the father of our faith, struggling as well. Makes me feel like, you know what, maybe that's a normal part of our walk with God.
Absolutely. So if you're a believer today and you are struggling to sustain faith for the long haul, this message is going to really encourage your heart.
It's Genesis chapter 15. Let's get right into the Word.
I believe the promise. I know it's there, not because I've seen it with my physical eyes, but because I've seen it in my spiritual eyes. I already have a faith picture of it, even though I've never touched it or felt it or seen it. But in my spirit, I've seen it. The Bible says we don't live by sight, we live by faith. Our physical eyes haven't seen it, but we already believe that it's there. What the Word of God does is the Word of God helps create that faith picture so that we see it inside before we've ever seen it with our eyes. It's a faith picture. In fact, have you ever taken a piece of paper and put it on top of a coin? Say a penny. Whose face is on the front of a penny? Some of you deal in a lot higher currency. You say, I don't know, pennies, I don't know, quarters. Okay, so we have Abraham Lincoln on the front of a penny. Now, have you ever taken a piece of paper and gotten a pencil and started to just rub the pencil on top? Because when the paper is over the coin, you can't see anything. But as you rub the lead of the pencil on, then suddenly emerges the face of Abraham Lincoln, right? Faith is that way. The Word of God is like that pencil rubbing against your spirit and beginning to create a picture. So now I see what God has promised. Now I see what's coming my way. And I may not be able to see it physically, but I see it. It may not be a perfect picture, but I know that it's coming. God spoke to Abraham because his picture was getting fuzzy. Because he no longer was seeing clearly like he had seen before. And God said, I need to refresh your faith. You need to see it again clearly. And let me bring the Word to you so that it would be revitalized and refreshed. The second way that God refreshes our faith is not only through the Word, but listen. He refreshes our faith. God's presence stimulates and refreshes our faith. I want you to notice that when God shows up, He did two things with Abraham. Not only did he give him his word, but God also creates a clearer faith picture. I love this. Because the Bible says that God spoke to Abraham and he assured him that he would be a father and that it would come from his own body. But here's the thing. Abraham still didn't believe. How many of you know you can hear the word and still not believe? You know, how many times you know it in your head, but you can't grasp it in your heart? Someone says, well, God loves you. Yeah, I know he does, but... And it seems to be that God had spoken to Abram through the word, but it still had not clicked in Abraham's heart. And so God says, I'm going to turn this up a notch. And it tells us that, verse 5, that God took Abraham outside of his tent. He said, Abram, I want you to walk outside your tent. So Abraham's all discouraged, looking down at the floor. All right, God, I'm out at the tent now. I love what God says to Abraham. Oh, you need to grasp this. Look up. God said to Abraham, look up. Look up at the heavens and count the stars. You know, when you're discouraged and you're down, you tend to look down. You tend to look earthly. You tend to look natural. And sometimes when God is strengthening your faith, he says to you, now look up. Why? Because the psalmist tells us our help cometh from above. And sometimes God is trying to change our focus from seeing down here and looking at the problems to saying, hey, look up. And God said to Abraham, look up and count, look up to the heavens and count the stars. They tell us that in a clear Middle Eastern night, you can see about 8,000 stars with the naked eye. So as Abraham, hey, in Chicago, we don't, right? You look up and you say, I think I saw one, and then it's a plane, right? Driving by. But in a clear Eastern sky, you can see 8,000 stars with your naked eye. And God said, count the stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Shh, you're distracting me. Oh, I got to start all over. Can you count them? No, I can't count them. God says, see those stars? As he looked up at the stars, what God was saying to Abraham, see those stars? Every one of those stars represents a child, a son, a grandson, a granddaughter. It represents a great-great-grandson. Listen, look up at the stars. Your descendants will be like the stars. You know what God was giving Abraham? God was giving Abraham a picture, a clear picture that would strengthen his faith. Sometimes, have you ever heard the expression, a picture is worth 1,000 words? Sometimes you and I need a picture. Because when our faith isn't strong enough, we need to be able to see it clearly in our spiritual mind. A young man comes back home and he's telling his mother that he's dating a young girl, and he tries to describe what she looks like and he tries to describe who she is, and the mother has a hard time, but finally he brings a picture home and she says, aha, now I understand what she is and what she looks like. I have on my finger right now a ring. I'd love to tell you that it's my original wedding ring, but I lost the first one. I'm still trying to make up for that. Guys, let me give you a little suggestion. Don't spin your ring on tables. It's not a good idea. You could lose it. Two rings, one wife, though. So I have this ring, and I wear this ring on my hand all the time because this ring is a visual reminder of a covenant that I made with my wife years ago. And when I see this ring, it reminds me I'm committed to that woman. She is my wife. I am committed to her and her alone. I've pledged my love to her in good times and in bad. And so this is a visual reminder of my commitment to her. In my wallet, I carry a picture of my children. It's a picture. It's an image. And when I see that image, it reminds me I'm a father. I have a responsibility to my children. I am committed to their life. I am 100% committed to them. Why? This visual, this image reminds me of something that I am committed to. God said to Abraham, look up at the stars. Because I'm about to give you an image that every time you walk outside, you're going to remember my promise. You're not going to carry this around in your wallet. I'm going to paint it in the sky. And every time you walk outside, every time it's nighttime, every time you see a star, you're going to remember, God is going to give me children. I'm going to put it in your face. Every time you see it, you're going to remind. Every time you look at the moon and the stars at night, you're going to remember there are kids that are coming. Hey, it's on its way. It's on its way. It's a coming. And every time you look at the stars, I'm going to focus that image for you. How many of you know that God sometimes wants us to look up? And why don't we do it right now? Why don't we practice for a second? Let's just look up. Come on, everybody. Look up. Let me do it. Let's do another thing. You know what else the Bible says? The Bible says, raise your hands towards God. We look up and we raise our hands in surrender. Let's practice that for a second. You know what you're saying? You're saying, God, I'm looking up and I surrender to you. Boy, that's a great place to be. You need to practice doing that on a regular basis. Amen? Look up to the stars. I'm creating a picture. God was speaking to Abraham. He was creating a picture in his mind. He said, count the stars. You see, God was forming an image that could not be erased from Abraham's heart and mind. And look at what it says in verse 6. I love this. Verse 6. And it says, and Abraham believed the Lord. This is a breakthrough moment. Suddenly, Abraham's looking up at the stars and he says, I got it. Hey, I got it. I'm going to have kids. Man, they're going to fill this area. They're going to inhabit the land. I'm going to be a father of a great nation. Man, they're going to be all over the place. There's going to be family and grandkids. There's going to be stores and farms. And they're going to be my descendants. I got it. It's a breakthrough moment. And the Bible says that Abraham, look at what it says in verse 6. He saw the stars, and then Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Here's what I want you to understand about faith. We have it in our power statement. Every good thing that comes to your life comes via faith. Everything good that comes to your life comes via faith.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk message called Keeping Your Faith Fresh for the Long Haul, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in a message called Keeping Your Faith Fresh for the Long Haul.
Salvation and healing and deliverance and change and transformation, it comes first of all via faith. That's God's transportation system to your life. There's nothing good that comes to your life that doesn't come first of all via faith. So if you don't have faith, it doesn't come to your life. But when you have faith, it comes to your life. Let me tell you, even righteousness comes via faith. You say, well, what's righteousness? This is quoted several times in the New Testament. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You know what a credit is? Someone says, well, someone's credited this to your account. That means someone's deposited it into your account. The moment that Abraham believed God, the moment that he had faith in the promise of God, God said to Abraham, now, righteousness is credited to your account. You see, that's the way salvation comes to us as well. You see, the Bible tells us that we are all children of Abraham if we believe. When I was younger, there was a little song that says, Father Abraham had many kids. Ever heard that song? Many kids had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. And I always thought, he's not my great-great-grandfather. I'm not related to Abraham. But you see, the Bible says that everybody who believes is a son or daughter of Abraham because righteousness was credited to Abraham. And in the same way, when you and I believe in the sacrifice of Jesus made on the cross of Calvary, it doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter how long we've been there. It doesn't matter how bad your life has been. The moment that you believe, righteousness is credited to your life. Not by what you have done. Not by what you earn, because you cannot earn it and you cannot deserve it. Righteousness and forgiveness is a credit that's given to you via faith, by grace, not of works of your own. You see, Abraham blew it a lot of times. But righteousness was credited to his life. And notice what it says. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? And God reminded him of his past and reminded him of his future. You see, oftentimes when God is encouraging our faith, he'll remind you of what he's brought you through. How many of you know when you're discouraged, you forget how much God has been there? And some of us need to be like that little old lady that a young believer came to her and asked her, how do you always stay so encouraged? And she said, come with me. And she took this young gal into her bedroom and she reached under her bed and she took out an old shoebox. She took the shoebox and she started rattling it. The young girl says, I don't get it. And she said, well, look inside the shoebox. Inside the shoebox, there's a bunch of little rocks. And she said, every time God answers a prayer, every time God comes through, every time I see the hand of God, every time there's a little miracle in my life, I take a pebble and I put it in this box. So that, when I am discouraged, when I get out of perspective, all I have to do is take that box and I start shaking it and I start remembering God is good. God has been faithful. God has been with me. God has been there all the time and my faith is encouraged. Some of us need to get a shoebox. How about it? We need to start remembering how good a God has been. And let me wrap up with the last point here. The last point I want to make is this. Not only does God encourage us through his word, strengthen our faith through his word. He strengthens our faith through his presence as he develops a clearer picture. But the final way that God solidifies and refreshes and strengthens our faith is this. Through the power of covenant, God guarantees his part in the promise. The ultimate way. See, Abraham still was doubting a little bit. Look what it says. Verse 8, after all this, even though he had believed, but Abraham said, O Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it, gain possession of the land? I want you to notice what he says. So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a pigeon. Abraham, verse 10, Abraham brought these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut. Then the birds of prey came down in the carcass, but Abraham drove them away. You say, what? You see, it gets a little gory and bloody right now. You know what God told Abraham to do? He said, I want you to go get a cow. Okay? Got a cow. Get a cow. Get a sheep. Get a ram. He got three animals. He said, now I want you to cut them in two. Cut them in two. So he cut them in two. Now I want you to put half the cow on that side and half the cow on that side, half the ram on that side, half the ram on that side, half the sheep on one side. So he's got three dead animals and there is one big bloody mess. And then he said to Abram, I'm about to make a covenant with you. You see, what Abraham knew is that this was a practice in the old times. In fact, in Jeremiah, it talks about it. And in Abraham's day, if you were to make a solemn covenant, nowadays we have lawyers and contracts, right? In those days, they made a solemn covenant with each other, and they did it this way. And the Bible says that if you were making a covenant with someone else, then both of the parties making the covenant would walk through this aisle with the dead animals on each side, and they would walk through the middle of this blood trail, and they would say this, if we do not keep our part in the covenant, may it be done to us like it was done to these animals. So it was a visual reminder, man, if I break my part, may I be cut in two like this. Now here's the beauty of this. When God made a covenant with Abraham, God didn't tell Abraham, walk through it with me. God said, I'm going to walk through it alone. This is wild. This is God. And the Bible says that darkness came over the land and Abraham fell into this sort of this this trance-like sleep, and God gave him a prophetic vision of the people of Israel would be 400 years in Egypt in slavery, and it was a prophecy that would be fulfilled hundreds of years later, and he told him, I'll bring you back to this land, and you're going to die at a ripe old age. And then the Bible says that God took a, then suddenly, while Abraham was there and he woke up and he saw this mess there, then suddenly there appeared a torch, a flaming torch, like the Olympic torch of fire, and there appeared a pot of fire. No one was holding it. No one was lifting it. It appeared out there out of the nowhere, and this torch and this pot of fire started moving its way down the center of this aisle between this bloody carcasses, and it symbolized the presence of God. Now, you know why Abraham did not walk down the middle of that carcass with the presence of God? I want you to hear me well. Because God made a covenant that did not depend on how faithful or unfaithful Abraham was. God said, I'm going to make a covenant and it will not be violated by the unfaithfulness of man. This covenant will depend totally upon my character and my faithfulness. I want you to hear me well. Listen to what it says, the Bible. Listen to what the Bible says in the New Testament in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Even if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. What God was saying is, Abraham, you're human, you're fallible, and even if you fail sometimes, guess what? I'm going to still keep my part. This does not depend on you. It does not depend on how you are and what you do. This depends on my character. And God walked through the covenant. And this is exactly the kind of promise that God has made to you and I. How many of you know that we fail and we fail a lot? And we mess up and we blow it oftentimes. I want you to know this, that God is still faithful when we're unfaithful. God is still there when we have abandoned him. God will not abandon his word, because this covenant is not based on who you are. This covenant is based on who God is. And so God will be always faithful to his promises, whether or not you and I are consistent or faithful, because this is beyond us. Wow. That should make you want to say, thank you, God. I had a friend that told me recently he was working on a car and he had a craftsman's tool. Have you ever heard of craftsman's tool? And he broke the tool. And his friend said to him, oh, don't worry. If it's craftsman, you could take it into any craftsman's store without a receipt. And as long as it has the label on it, they will replace it at no charge lifelong. Wow. Now that's a guarantee. Let me tell you, the guarantee that God gives us is even greater than craftsman guarantee. Amen. It's an eternal guarantee. And so I'm going to ask that as we close our time together, I'm going to ask that quietly you would stand with me. I don't want anybody walking around right now. I want you just to quietly raise your feet, and we're going to close in a word of prayer. But I want to ask you a question this morning. How is the level of your faith doing? Have you begun to fear or lose the clear vision that God gave you? Are you allowing the Word of God to generate and sustain faith and life in you? Or are you here this morning barely surviving on your faith? The picture of your future is unclear. Your energy level and faith is low. If so, God wants to jumpstart your faith again. God wants to refresh your faith. Maybe you say, Pastor, you know, a couple years ago I had a strong faith, but now, wow, is it weak? My head is so low. God is saying to you, look up today. I have a purpose and a plan and a vision for your life. And it may have become unclear, but guess what? Even though you look at your life and it's fuzzy, I'm not confused about your life, God is telling you. You look at your future and it's uncertain, but in God's eyes, it's not uncertain.
We wrapped up the second half of our message called Keeping Your Faith Fresh for the Long Haul. This is from Pastor Mark's series called Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. Join us again for part 5, Keeping Your Faith Fresh While You Wait. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Tune in again for another Straight Talk edition on our series called Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith, tomorrow. Have a great night, and God bless.